It's Outdoor Explorer. I'm Charles Wolfworth. You know, there's this mystique about the outdoors that it's for these solitary adventures, for the great lone person who's going to go out and do a mountain climb or do a hike or commune with nature. But for most of us, I think, there's also a social element. And I know for me, getting out with a group of people is really a lot more fun than just being by myself with my iPod. And so that's our topic today. We're going to be talking about going outdoors with others, using it as a place to make friends and to enjoy the connection you have with other people at the same time you're connecting with nature. And in particular, using the internet to make that happen. There's some really great things happening with groups meeting up on the internet for outdoor activities with other people of their same interests, same ability levels. And that's going to be our topic today on Outdoor Explorer. And I've got two guests with me to talk about different aspects of this. In the studio with me is Joe Friday, who is an organizer with the Anchorage Adventurers Meetup Group here in Anchorage. Joe, thanks for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
And on the phone, she's home with kids, couldn't get a sitter, Harmony Roll, who's a founder of the Anchorage Outdoor Family Network. Harmony, thanks for being with us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And we would love to hear from listeners about your questions about how to do this, and also your experiences, ideas, things you've done that were cool that you want to share. If you're in the Anchorage area, the number is 550-8433, 550-8433. Outside Anchorage, it's 1-888-353-5752. And to share a text-type message with us, go to Facebook. It's a really good place to post your questions and comments. Then all the other listeners can see them, too. And then I get them and read them on the air to share with our listeners and our guests while the show is ongoing. So that's on Facebook at Outdoor Explorer. So I want to start in talking with you, Joe, about just how this relates to the internet. I'm betting a lot of our listeners don't really know what a meetup group is and how you sort of are, in a sense, you're connecting with strangers through the internet to do something that's sort of not internet-y, something that's somewhat you think of as the opposite of technology, if it's going out for a hike or something. How does this work?
Well, it's the blessing of the internet, which provides us basically the framework for contacting each other as a social setting. And with the Anchorage Adventurers, we're an all-volunteer group. It's just a lot of like-minded people who want to get outside. And the meetup website is a website that we pay an annual fee to use. They provide us calendaring, membership, and all sorts of software that we use. And you can join, then people post events, whether it's a summer hike or a winter ski or a backpack or a camping trip or someplace elsewhere, and you sign up to participate. You can ask questions about it. The emphasis is on the fact that we're not professionals and we're not paid. We're just all people who want to get outside but want to do it in a group setting so that you have friends or you make friends. And it's safer, and it's a lot more fun to do it with people than mm-hmm. it is to do it alone, especially in bear country.
Yeah. And Harmony, you are essentially using some of the same technology, but with a family kind of emphasis to it, right?
Right, yeah, we are. And exactly like the other interviewer just said, is that we're it's a lot about safety. Going out in groups, so like she said, in bear country, I have a very active imagination, and I want to go out with other people because I know you're much safer in the wilderness with a group. So there's that component, and also just getting our kids to be socialized and having something that's free and available to families in the Anchorage area is very important to us. So making it accessible. Being a stay-at-home mom, we went down in income for me to stay at home, and I wanted something that was free for me to be able to do the things I want to do with my kids. So I just kind of took the ball and ran with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's something that I thought was brilliant when I first heard about it, which was about a week ago, because I was a stay-at-home parent myself, and it can be extremely isolating. You love being with your kids, but you can't exactly have a grown-up conversation with them. And so you're always looking for play dates and things where you can get with other parents and kids. And here's a way that you can do it. And also, you know, go for a hike or do something where you are connecting with nature and the kids are playing with other kids and you can be with other parents. Is that social aspect of it for the parents a big part of it?
Absolutely. We network. I mean, it's a resource for us. Along the trail, I've heard just amazing stories, you know, with parents relating to one another and sharing ideas. And I mean, even this morning on the trek, it's kind of nice to, my kid had a little meltdown and a couple of other kids do because it's spring mania time, and to see that, you know, how other parents deal with it and get ideas from them and know you're not alone. Like, you know, yes, your kid has meltdowns, but theirs do too, is really very important, especially in Alaska, because a lot of us don't have family here. So we kind of have created our own family.
Mm. Yeah. So you said you were on just today or just yesterday you were out with a group?
This morning, yep.
Yeah.
Every Thursday morning we have the Taiga Trekkers, which I run, which kind of started the whole thing. And we take a different trail every week. During the summer, we do every other week as a stroller-friendly week. So it really accommodates parents with more than one kid. And then the opposite weeks are our true hiking trail weeks.
So give me, what did you do today? What was your itinerary?
Today was Campbell Creek Science Center. So we don't really have an itinerary. A lot of times I'll have a theme for the week, and we were going to do Signs of Spring today, but it wasn't looking much like spring.
Few of them out there, yeah. Better to do Arctic expeditions to this, yeah.
Right, and, you know, the theme is just so we have a communal conversation going along the trail. Sometimes it's birding and just looking for birds, or the signs of the season, something like that. So we had kind of have a conversation where parents are interacting with each other's kids, and we're all kind of pointing and looking at the same things out there.
Cool. So it's Outdoor Explorer. We're talking about meetup groups, ways to get together with others who are interested in the outdoors. And it looks like the internet is down here at the station. So if you want to get on the air with us, the only way to do it is the old-fashioned way, to call at 550-8433 or outside Anchorage, 888-353-5752. Our website is up, I believe, and we have a bunch of stuff of interest there. We have links to the groups we're talking about, the Anchorage Adventurers Meetup Group, and also their extraordinary photo albums. It's thousands and thousands of photos. Also, the Anchorage Outdoor Family Network, which is Harmony's group we were just talking about. Then there's some other choices. You know, there's other folks doing this out there in different forums, different formats. So the Anchorage Department of Fish and Game has their Becoming an Outdoors Woman workshop, which is a weekend-long workshop where they teach outdoor skills to women, and it's $250 room and board for an entire weekend. It sounds like a great thing to do. I'm not a woman, so I guess I won't be doing it, but if I were, I would certainly consider it. There's a link to that on our website. Also, Get Outdoors Alaska, Eagle River Nature Center, that does a lot of family programs. The Alaska Native Plant Society leads groups to learn about Alaska's botany and the kinds of plants that grow here. And the Anchorage Audubon Society, not at this time of year, but during the summer, does a ton of bird walks where you can learn to be a birder, or advanced birders can network with other birders. So I put all those links on the website. You can find it at alaskapublic.org and go down and click on the group-led outdoor activities. And there's also a Outdoor Explorer website that you can find by clicking there on the icon. Joe, I'm just curious as to what your last activity you did with your group was. We were talking to Harmony about going to the Campbell Creek Science Center. Tell me about the last thing you did with your group.
Well, I did a very mellow thing last night, as a matter of fact. Historically, I was mentioning this to you before, there's a Tuesday night, what's called a heart and lunger, and the goal of that group is to get your heart rate up and work your lungs. And the way of doing that is to set a goal of an elevation gain of, say, 3,000 feet or 3,500 feet on a Tuesday evening, and that runs from April through October, or May 1st through October, so they'll be setting that up again soon. We used to have a subgroup of that, started by actually me and two other asthmatics, called the Gasp and Wheezers because we couldn't keep up with the Heart and Lungers. That's kind of flipped into a Wednesday weekly wander. And in the winter, we will cross-country ski or ice skate or just hike. And last night, we all met at Westchester Lagoon. Some people skated, some people skied, some people walked along the coastal trail. A lot of times we'll meet at Kincaid Park. Other times we'll meet out at Hilltop or someplace like Russian Jack and ski or whatever it might be. And it's typically an hour and a half. And then some people get together for social hour afterwards, maybe go out to dinner. And that's kind of a weekly thing that's been going on for 3 years. The Heart and Lunger has been going on for probably 5 years. And there's some very faithful and very, very fit participants who do that every year.
So how many people show up, like, for your thing last night? How many people would have been, were there?
Last night, it was a small group. It was 11 people showed up for that. In the summer, when
that
we do...
That's a good number.
It's a manageable number, so it works fine. In the winter, it's typically smaller. A lot of people don't like the cold, or maybe they don't ski. In the summer, if it's a bike ride, we can have as many as 30 people show up.
Wow. So is there somebody who is the leader of that group, or is it just sort of ad hoc and let's just go do it?
Yes and no. There is a structure that is an informal structure that is set up in the website, and you have an organizer, which is me, and then there are my two co-organizers. So I kind of refer to us as the co-hos, and sometimes when everybody's hemming and hawing were the uh-ohs. But under that are assistant organizers and event organizers and event hosts who will specifically set up events. And then you kind of get a little refresher course on what you need to do, what it is. When you post it, you post what it is, what the fitness level is, how long you're going to be out, what sort of special gear you might want. We have certain minimum rules, like if it's a bike ride, you have to have a helmet or you can't go. And if it's a bike ride, how far you're going to be going, how many hours you expect to be out, that sort of thing. And then anybody who wants to join RSVPs that, yes, they're going, they can ask questions. A frequent question is it suitable for my children? And a lot of times the answer is no, because the pace is too fast. And then sometimes it might be somebody who's a beginner who just moved to Alaska, is just starting out, and maybe wants to participate in a how to glissade and how to stop yourself with an ice axe. And we might tell them, no, you need a little more experience before you try that sort of thing.
I see. So, how do you decide what the activity is going to be? Just whoever wants to lead something just says, I've got an idea, and puts it on the website? Or
totally. You put it on the calendar. And our membership is invited always to email and say, hey, could we do something like this? And we'll scout around and find somebody who might want to do it. And it might be everything from going down to Clam Gulch and clamming to dip netting to doing a backpack. We've done fly-in backpacks in Anwar and the Wrangles.
Wow.
We've done trips down in Death Valley, in Arches Park. I mean, it's not necessarily just in Alaska.
Wow. So the cost for being in the meetup group...
It's free.
It's free. I mean, obviously, if you're going on a trip, they have to pay for their own way to go on a trip.
But. Right. Everybody pays their own way on an outing like that. And the person who organizes it does not get paid. It's totally all... It's kind of like going out with your friends and neighbors.
That's so neat. Well, you said that when you came to Alaska, you kind of didn't know how to hook in with the outdoors scene, the outdoors community here, and that's kind of how you got to be part of this?
I actually moved to Alaska the same month that Doug Van Etten set up the Anchorage Adventures. And when I moved here, I had a job and nothing else. I didn't know anybody, didn't know where I was going to live, anything like that. But I saw this group set up, and I went to one of their meetings, and I thought, okay, this seems like a good way to get to know the outdoors. It's safe. These people don't seem like, you know,
they're not murderers.
They're not weird.
Yeah.
And it just took off from there. And as of now, I mean, it was founded in 2007. We've had, I believe, just under 4,000 outdoor events.
Wow.
So far in the last 6 years.
And you don't, like, you're not out advertising. You're just sort of people are finding you.
People find us. People find us online. People find us because a lot of times the newspaper will mention something that we've got going. We post, like, the free seminars that they have at REI to teach people who are new to the area whether it's about kayaking or snowshoeing. We also have potlucks, and at our potlucks, we always try to do something educational, such as avalanche awareness. We'll have people come in from the Parks Department. We volunteer to maintain a section of Campbell Creek. We also volunteer to maintain a section of the Campbell Creek Trail. And so just the word gets out.
It sounds like it must take up a large amount of your free time.
Why there are three of us that kind of manage it.
So I'm talking to Joe Friday, who is the organizer of the Anchorage Adventurers Meetup Group. And if you're getting excited about being part of that group, which I kind of am, it's easy to find. I'm sure you could just Google it, but it's also linked on our website at alaskapublic.org under the heading Getting Outdoors with New Friends. And incidentally, looks like our website or our internet connection here at the station is back functioning again. So if you have a Facebook comment or that you want to get on the air, please do go ahead to Facebook and find Outdoor Explorer. And Harmony, you're the founder of the Anchorage Outdoor Family Network, which is a similar group, but mostly for families with young kids. How did you sort of get started? Joe was telling us her story about what created her original interest for doing this. What was your impetus?
It was kind of a natural evolution. I had, when my first son was born, I started with the Cuddlers group at Providence Hospital, led by Jennifer Aist, who also happens to be the author of Babes in the Woods, A Guide to Taking Your Kids Outside. And I met a few friends there, and then we all became part of the Anchorage Parents of Infants and Young Children group. And I started the hiking group there, and it kind of took off, and it seemed like there was this larger need for more outdoor family events. So I started the Anchorage Outdoor Family Network, and it just kind of took off from there. My friend Leah also runs a outdoor play group called Skedaddle. And so I immediately, once I started, enlisted her help as being a co-organizer. And we actually just got through the process of becoming a nonprofit so that we can kind of do some more, hopefully get some grants, and also we have a lending library for our gear. So a lot of companies have donated baby carriers and baby carrier covers and snowshoes and things like that for parents to try out before.
Wow, that's
they
really cool.
Invest in. Yeah, and also to just, you know, if you don't have a lot of money to start up with stuff, you can just borrow it.
How do people access that?
You just drop me an email through the meetup group and I'll have it ready at the hike.
I see. So like a baby carrier or a stroller or something, and it's just you kind of bring it in your car and then they can just try it out for the hike, and then they know if they want to get one or not. Cool.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So in terms of forming it into a nonprofit corp, that seems like a step beyond. Is this something you see as being like going beyond being a meetup group, or are you kind of going to keep it at that level?
It's gone a little bit beyond the meetup group, but that's kind of our nexus for posting events and things like that. We also have a Facebook page where if we see something that's going on in the community that isn't necessarily one of our events, we can post it there to let people know, like the Easter egg hunt that's going on at the Wildlife Conservation Center this Sunday, you know, those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. So how many families are involved or hooked up with you at this point?
I think it just tipped over 500 last week. Yeah.
That's amazing. So in a typical outing, how many people would show up?
This morning we had about 15 parents with about twice as many kids.
That's a pretty big group.
Average.
Yeah.
And that's even throughout the winter for outdoor play dates and hikes. So
is there a carrying capacity or just a number when you get like too many kids, it just sort of reaches a critical mass that maybe is too much?
We haven't had that issue yet. We have some parents that have just infants, just one child, and they kind of, on hikes, they kind of lead the way because they can go a lot faster than a toddler who is independent and wants to do his own hiking. I actually put the Garmin on my toddler 2 years ago when he was hiking, and he went 6/10 of a mile per hour.
Yeah.
But, you know, Harmony, I'm going to interject here. It seems like such a perfect program because you've got, when you've got the little infants that you can put in a pack, it allows the parents mm-hmm. time to socialize, and then you've got the toddlers and the social hour, and then when the kids get a little older, they care more about socializing with other kids their own age, and they're learning those social skills. So what a perfect venue for that progression that you all have there.
Yeah. And we ask, like, on the hikes to make sure that, you know, because we do kind of spread out along the trail, that just make sure that nobody is alone on the along the trail. But usually we're making, you know, enough noise that bears will probably give us a wide berth.
Yeah, 45 or 50 people. I've found, actually, that kids are the best way to keep bears away because they make so much noise. We were out staying in a cabin, and we found bear tracks that, like, come into our vicinity and then turned around and left. And we thought, why? Well, because it sounded like a boiler factory with all these kids screaming
right.
and running around. Yeah.
Right. So, and I wanted to mention, too, we are a free group as well. We do have one requirement, though, is because it is run off of all volunteer time, we've actually evolved into a co-op model where we expect each member or each family to either sponsor their own event, which can be an impromptu play date. It could be, you know, a backpacking trip. It could be a camping trip, or just help the group out in some way to maintain their membership for the year.
And when you say sponsor, it doesn't mean like you're having people to your house. It means you're meeting at Earthquake Park or you're meeting at Campbell Creek Science Center and just doing something together.
Right. I mean, it could be anything from, like, a wiffle ball tournament at the, you know, at Abbott Loop Fields, or it could be, you know, going, you know, actually organizing maybe a family camping trip or a family kayaking trip or something.
Yeah. It's Outdoor Explorer. I'm Charles Woolforth. We're talking about group activities, primarily being organized on the internet. It's a really great way to meet other people and go out and do things and learn about the outdoors and also meet up with other families with kids. Who could end up being your kids' friends over time. And you can get on the air with us by calling 550-8433 or outside Anchorage, 888-353-5752. And we're going to go to a break in just a couple of minutes. But Harmony, one thing that I wanted to touch with you is, you know, there's a lot of discussion that's gone on in the last few years about the need to reconnect kids with nature, and that mm-hmm. kids are spending too much time in front of screens, and
right.
You know, there's the whole "No Child Left Indoors" movement. Is that right. part of your inspiration? Is that something you guys talk about?
It definitely is with this group. A lot of us have read "No Child Left Inside" by Richard Louv, and I mean, a lot of us were already outdoor people, anyhow, and we just wanted a way to keep that going and not let kids be in the way, but actually enhance the experience. So,
any philosophical basis for what you're doing, Joe? Is it just fun?
I think it's fun and fitness and safety.
Safety being safety in numbers, essentially.
Safety in numbers, and it's also educational. I mean, how many times are you going to really go backpacking by yourself? If you're, I mean, we've got members who range in age from college all the way up into their 70s, and to do things as a group at any age. We've been really fortunate that we've only had one minor injury in our group, and I know that on one of our outings, they actually helped save the life of a woman who was coming down off a mountain not feeling good, and two of the people along recognized that she was in serious condition, and she was in fact having a heart attack, I believe. And they got her down. And so there's that safety factor. There's also the fact with wild animals and the fact with weirdos on the trail. And I know we get college kids and other young people who come up here for the summer for the experience of living in Alaska. A lot of them join our group, and they have an opportunity to experience Alaska without getting into potentially serious circumstances,
mm-hmm.
because we can tell them what you need to do.
You can guide them in the right direction.
You don't go out in shorts and a t-shirt and flip-flops because mm-hmm. the weather can change in a heartbeat,
right.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, it's a great topic, and we're going to be talking about it more in the second half hour of the show. I'll be giving out the phone numbers for listeners who want to learn more or share some of their thoughts about social outdoor activities. But now it's time for the Outdoor Explorer calendar. The 30th annual Great Alaska Sportsman Show starts today and runs through Sunday at the Sullivan Arena in Anchorage. In addition to outdoor equipment vendors, there will be many hands-on events for kids and seminars on fishing, hunting, archery, and much more. Save money on parking by taking the free shuttle from the University Center or the Northway Mall. More info at greatalaskasportsmanshow.com. Celebrate the return of the Eastern Pacific gray whales to Alaska waters at the Whale Fest in Kodiak on April 19th through the 29th. Plenty of time to plan a trip to Kodiak. It'd probably be a great place to go in the springtime. Nearly the entire population of gray whales passes by Kodiak Island in the Gulf of Alaska on their way north. Whale Fest events include scientific lectures, marine mammal-inspired music, traditional Native Alaskan games, and environmental forums. For more information, go to whalefestkodiak.com. In Girdwood, the Alyeska Spring Carnival is set for April 19th through 21st. Spring Carnival takes advantage of the long days with extended hours of lift operations, great spring skiing conditions, and Alyeska's largest and most popular winter event, Slush Cup, where competitors dressed in zany costumes attempt to skim across a 90-foot-long pool of freezing water. I've seen videos of that. I'm sure they're on YouTube. It's well worth watching. It would be really fun to see it in person. For links and more information on any of these events, please go to alaskapublic.org. We've got everything there on our calendar. Finally, as part of the National Public Health Week, Thursday, April 4th will be Get Outside and Move Day in Anchorage. To tell us about it, we have Liz Snyder from the UAA Department of Health Sciences. Thanks for joining us, Liz.
Hi, Charles. Thank you for this opportunity.
You bet. So, there's a lot of events going on as part of the Public Health Week, and this is a particular one that has to do with getting outside and getting some exercise.
Right. We do have quite a few events planned as part of the week, but our primary outdoor activity is the No Matter the Weather Walk, as you mentioned, and we'll be holding that on Thursday, April 4th. At noon, so you can come on your lunch break and get a little bit of exercise. And we'll be doing that at the 1.5-mile Goose Lake Trail.
Okay, and where are you going to be starting from? From the Goose Lake side with the parking lot or from the...
We are all going to meet at the northeast corner of the Consortium Library parking lot on the UAA campus.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking forward to folks who not only work at UAA, but anyone else in the community who wants to come. Kids are welcome. Leashed pets are welcome. We had a gal here in the office scope out the trail today, give us a little bit of a heads up, and it's in great shape, she said, for walking or running. If you wanted to come ski, push a stroller, come out and join us. We'll have prizes. I know people like to wear bright clothes and sweaters and maybe something festive for the upcoming holiday. But we'll all be out there at noon in the parking lot.
Oh, that sounds like fun. So we have prizes. So it's kind of more than just a walk. It's more of a whole community event to get people.
It really is. Everyone from across the community. So again, we'll have some prizes to encourage folks to come on out on their lunch break or take a break in the middle of the day. And just really to get the message to get outside and get active no matter the weather, as our title implies. But be prepared and come share out an outdoor activity, even if it's just your lunch break with your friends or your coworkers and your neighbors.
And this is next Thursday, the 4th at noon, there at the Consortium Library parking lot.
We'll all be there.
All right. And there's no registration needed, no fee, just show up and have fun.
Nope. Just show on up and we'll hit the trail.
All right. Well, especially people in the UMed district should get out there. All those folks at the hospital. I'm looking
Absolutely.
At our producer, Kirsten, here in the KSKA. She should be out there. So, there should be a lot of people. I hope.
Great.
Well, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you.
All right, that was Liz Snyder from the UAA Department of Health Sciences, and you can find out more about that event and all the other events we've talked about at our website at alaskapublic.org. I'm Charles Woolforth. In the second half of the show, we're going to go back to talking more about group-led outdoor activities, and I'll be giving out the phone number when Outdoor Explorer continues.
You're You're listening to Outdoor Explorer from KSKA Anchorage. The program repeats tonight at 7 p.m. on FM 91.1. If you're listening in the evening, it is a recorded rebroadcast and will not be taking phone calls. Connect with Outdoor Explorer anytime, download podcasts, and see what's coming up on future programs at alaskapublic.org.
It's Outdoor Explorer. I'm Charles Wolforth, and we're talking about group activities, hooking up with other people of like mind and like interests, like ability levels and ages, and getting outside to do stuff around Anchorage. Wow, there's so much to do. I don't know. I sometimes find myself finding a certain lack of energy or initiative on a weekend morning to go out and do something sort of just by myself or with a kid or something. But if I had a whole group I knew was going, by golly, I'd be there. So that's another good motivator. We'd love to hear your comments, memories, questions, thoughts on the topic. You can call the show at 550-8433. That's 550-8433. Outside Anchorage, 888-353-5752. And on Facebook, which is now working again. Yep, I'm getting the thumbs up. You go to Outdoor Explorer on Facebook and post your comments. And we've got tons of pictures there of from these groups and some of the stuff they've done. And one of the things we've posted a bunch of on our website is pictures from this enormous photo album that the Anchorage Adventurers has. And there's a picture of walking in the red alpine meadows around Anchorage and a picture of Hanging Valley some folks together, and there's also a GPS map showing a route that was traveled on one of your it must have been a canoeing adventure or some kind of boating adventure. And I wanted to ask you, Joe, about the use of technology. It sounds like people are using it on both ends to organize and then also to sort of communicate after the fact and record what they've been doing.
That's correct, and we don't really encourage using GPS on the trip because it's better to learn to navigate by observation, in my opinion, and your compasses don't necessarily work as accurately here as they might somewhere else. But we use the technology to set up events, to communicate with people about them, on occasion to coordinate meeting at a trailhead. And then the follow-up can be just an evaluation and report about what you did. And it's also, we can communicate on the website or by email or on Facebook about what we can do to improve comparable experiences in the future. A trip that involves portaging through a series of lakes and streams down on the Kenai, you might want to change your path. If it turns out you've got a number of, say, half-mile portages, you might want to try to find a series of lakes that aren't quite so far apart. Mm-hmm. So technology definitely helps in that regard.
Seems like you'd also want to make sure you had the right kind of people on a trip like that, because those, like the Kenai canoe route, it's, you know, fantastic. I love it. The Swan Lake canoe route, and there's also the Swanson River route. But anyway you slice it, it's a lot of work to carry your stuff from lake to lake. And some people are not going to want to do that. How do you make sure you've got the right mix of people on each trip?
You really can't control that. The person who organizes it and who posts the event tries to give it as accurate a description as they can. And then it's up to the individuals. It's like if you decide to go with your neighbor somewhere and you decide halfway through you're not enjoying it, well, if the two of you want to leave, you can leave as long as you let someone know. Other than that, you're kind of in the middle of the wilderness and you're going to have to put up with it. We have had some experiences where problems arose. And we've learned from those that if it's going to be something where you're extremely remote and you might not have access to quick medical care or other type of rescue, like a fly-in trip somewhere, There's a lot of pre-trip vetting that goes on. The organizer will try to ensure that everybody meets each other, that they have comparable skill and experience levels, that it's going to be a cooperative group, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Give me an example of a problem, because I can think of some, but what would be something that sort of had gone wrong that you learned from?
Well, one that I was on was a trip in which it was a fly-in trip, and one of the participants represented themselves as being more experienced and more knowledgeable than they turned out to be. They also turned out to be afraid of heights, and that was a problem on a fly-in trip because you're in the mountains. They also didn't know how to purchase and prepare backcountry food, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. Mm-hmm. And so the knowledge that was gained there is make sure you meet and talk with everybody and talk about what their experiences are. When you're going, particularly on a limited participant trip, mm-hmm. you might have a trip that you say the most we want on this is 8 people. And so you want to vet them ahead of time and make sure that it's going to be 8 people who can work together.
So how did you deal with that in that situation? Does somebody have to stay back with that person or just have to drag him along? And
we pretty much dragged that person along.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There was not a lot of other opportunity because you can't leave them alone.
Right.
And so we took turns dragging them along.
Sounds like you could run a little bit of the risk of being put in the position of being a wilderness guide when you're not a wilderness guide.
That's pretty common, especially when you get people from outside who are coming up for the summer and they think that we are a cheap guide service.
Mm-hmm.
And they get here and they want us to set up activities for them and they want us to do things for them. And we have to make it very clear that that's not the way the Anchorage Adventurers works. If they want to do something like that, they can go to the 4th Street Market and sign up for a flat top hike or something mm-hmm. of that nature.
So you just do that at the outset in terms of communicating?
Well, the website explains that.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody doesn't read that information on the website because it's got a page that's about us and it's very specific that we are not paid, we're not professionals, we're not guides, we're people who like to get together to go outside and have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And if it goes beyond that, we try to communicate and educate them about it. And it may be that the bottom line is we come to an agreement and part ways. That mm-hmm. does happen occasionally.
So you could kick somebody out, in other words?
Well, we could discourage somebody from going on an uh-huh. outing. If they show up at the trailhead, you can't stop them because it's all voluntary.
Right,
and it's public.
Mm-hmm.
But you can make it clear to them that you're not taking any responsibility. The reality is if you're on the trail and someone's in trouble, you're going to help them, even if it's someone you've never met before.
Right, of course. Even if you found somebody who had nothing to do with your group, you'd help
totally.
Them. Yeah.
Totally.
Interesting. We're talking today on Outdoor Explorer about outdoor meetup groups that get together on the internet and then go out and do outdoor activities together. And it's totally easy to join in on. Anybody can do it. There are two groups that we're talking about primarily today. Joe, who I was just talking to, is an organizer with the Anchorage Adventurers Meetup Group. And then Harmony Roll is the founder of the Anchorage Outdoor Family Network, one of the founders. Harmony, I'm interested in this aspect I was just exploring with Joe, is that most of the time you kind of choose your friends, right? You meet them at work
right.
or you meet them at school and think, oh, this person is simpatico. I think I want to do something with them. But this is a case where it's just sort of whoever shows up. Does that have any negative aspects for you?
It hasn't so far. I mean, we do kind of vet our members. We have a little form you have to fill out when you apply to be in the group. In certain things, we have precautions, like you have to provide a recognizable picture of yourself because we are meeting in public places with our children. We want to know what faces to expect there.
Hmm.
And so we do have things like that. And I think part of being a co-op and members agreeing that they're going to help the group in some way helps them realize that, you know, this is fully run by volunteers so that they're not expecting us to be guides.
Right. It's a do-it-yourself kind of thing, and that whole do-it-yourself ethic is getting more and more understood out there, I think.
Right. And we do. I always bring extra gear. My truck is full of extra gear in case, you know, somebody forgets mittens or that kind of thing for their kids, or their kids just, they just underestimated how cold it was going to be and need an extra bunting for their child. And we also try to provide educational opportunities or let families know when there's going to be a symposium on kid, you know, dressing your kid for the outdoors. And Leah, who runs the Skedaddle Play Group, and I both have blogs for Taiga Trekkers and Skedaddle, where we show the hikes that we've been on and document all our adventures. But we also put information on there for families to understand, you know, here's great gear that we've tested and, you know, tried out, and we know we'll keep your kid warm in the winter or dry in the rainy season.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of
we should make sure that we link to those blogs on our website so folks can find them easier. But yours is Taiga Trekkers, so TIAGA Trekkers.org.com.
I believe it's actually TaigaTots@blogspot.com. But if you just type in Taiga Trekkers in Google, it'll bring you right to it.
So we'll see if we can get that put up on our website. So I'm interested in Harmony. You know, for a lot of people, certainly myself included, taking care of kids and taking care of a house and all the other things you have to do is pretty is a lot of work, and you've also taken on this, seems like a pretty major additional effort of organizing outdoor activities for like a broad span of the people in Anchorage who want to participate. Is it as much work as it sounds like, and what makes you want to do that? What gives you the sort of the inspiration to do that?
It is a lot of work, and we do get a lot of people who are like, well, why don't you do this, and why don't you do that, and have a lot of suggestions but aren't willing to kind of ante up. And that's part of why I made it a co-op, to take the onus off of, you know, the people, the small group of head organizers, so that everybody is involved. Because really the point of this is to empower families to get together and to network. And that's part, also we have a lot of families that have younger kids, but we're not just tailoring to younger kids. As the co-op, being a co-op, you know, you can, if somebody sets up a thing that's, you know, for families with older kids, then other people will start following suit. So, and also we have a lot of working families versus one stay-at-home parent families. And so, you know, you have like-minded schedules. If you're a co-op, then you have people who can plan different events that fit different families' needs.
And with your 500 families involved, I guess it's probably going off in every direction now.
It is, yeah. And one of the things we love to see are just impromptu play dates, or, you know, it's going to be great this weekend, let's go do bird to gird on bikes. Those kinds of things we would love to see more of.
Mm-hmm. So older families doing more challenging hikes, or is it still mostly just the toddlers?
It's still mostly, we've got a large contingent of preschoolers now, because a lot of us all started together with our first kids, and then now we all have two.
Right.
But there are other families that kind of use us as a resource. We have a lot of families that come up from the lower 48, and this is kind of how they get their feet wet and find out how to dress their kids for the cold and all the activities that we're doing.
Yeah, it seems like a great way for people to get oriented to the community and make friends when they arrived.
Right, and there's a lot of families, too. I mean, Leah, my core organizer, is a lifelong Alaskan, and I've been here for 12 years on Mother's Day. So there's a lot of us who have been here for a while, but once you have kids, you know, it kind of changes the dynamic, and you want to meet other people who, you know, your kids can also relate to.
Yeah, you can't necessarily go out and do the gnarly things you used to do with your other friends.
Right. Well, and my husband and I joke that in some ways, I mean, he's done a lot of mountaineering and a lot of outdoor adventures prior to having kids, and I have too. And sometimes we almost joke that we do more now that we have the kids, because we don't have to make it to the top of the mountain. We don't have to make it, you know, we don't have to get to a certain point. It's just all trying it and seeing what happens. And if we make it, awesome. If we don't, we don't. And, you know, we're just having fun along the way.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite topics, the learning to know your kids' limits. You know, you kind of learn to know your own limits when you get to be an adult, and then you have to start a whole new learning process of figuring out what are your kids' limits and how are they going to be able to enjoy something where you're not going to wipe them out and keep them at the level that they can really accomplish and have fun. And do you have any thoughts on that, Harmony? I mean, how you stay aware of what your kids are able to do and how you kind of make sure you stay within that?
Well, that's another nice thing about us having the lending library from sponsor companies donating gear is you can try out things, and if your kids dig it, awesome. You know, you go out and invest in the gear. If they don't, then you just, you know, you tried it and you chalk it up to that.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, seeing what they can do. I mean, my little guy, my oldest, he is 4, and he wants to be really independent, but sometimes it's just he gets in over his head and wants to jump in the stroller too. So
yeah.
It's just kind of finding the balance, and that's also another nice thing is we have, you know, a lot of families have tried out different public use cabins, and so we all kind of share that information, and, you know, this one was great for kids, this was a little bit too far down the trail, and it was a little hairy. Maybe you guys want to stay away from that one. So just sharing resources and comparing notes.
I've also found that when you go out with other families, other folks with kids, your own kids will be more motivated and will try harder than if they're just with their parents.
Most definitely, yeah. It's kind of that positive peer pressure.
Yeah, exactly. Or if when they're with their parents, they think about the possibility of being, you know, being quitters or being little rats. But when they're with their other kids, other friends are having enough fun that they don't even think about that.
Right. And the social aspect for the kids, I mean, I love seeing, like, my son will be getting snacks ready, and he'll say, oh, no, we need to bring extra snacks to share with kids if they don't have them. And, you know, just seeing that come out from him, thinking about other people and opening his mind up that way.
That's cool. So it's Outdoor Explorer. I'm talking with Harmony Roll, who is founder of the Anchorage Outdoor Family Network. This is a group that anybody can get involved with. Anybody with kids can find them on the internet, sign up free of charge, find out a huge number of activities that are planned and that you can join going on all the time, like many activities a week, as I understand it. And then you can just go out and do it. And so now you're with other families with kids and doing something in a group. And there's another group like that in Anchorage called the Anchorage Adventurers Meetup Group, which is an adult group. And Joe Friday is a organizer of that. She's in the studio with me right now. And we have some time left if there's callers who have questions or want to say anything on our topic. 550-8433 is the number in Anchorage. Outside Anchorage, it's 888-353-5752. Joe, we were talking a little bit before the show about this issue of different ability levels, and you were saying that that when you first got involved, some of the hikes were a little bit too steep for you with your asthma. On the other end, so you have the wanderers, the folks who are just going to be flatland hikers. Do you have folks who are doing very, very challenging things, very, very, you know, steep or rock climbing and that kind of thing?
We have members who are doing things I wouldn't even attempt. Yes, that's part of, say, the Tuesday Heart and Lunger group, and also among that same group, on weekends, they might peak bag, and they might do 2 or 3 4,500, 5,000, 5,500 foot peaks or they go camping and they try to do that over the weekend.
Bagging is like how many, I was saying a peak bag. What does that mean? That's seeing how many peaks you can bag in the weekend.
Correct.
Wow.
Correct.
Yeah.
On the trip. And I'm one of those people who likes to mosey along and check out the flowers and stop to smell the mud,
mm-hmm.
And take pictures. And I always joke that when I have an event going, I'm leading from the rear because I'm not in a rush. So even on one of the more challenging things, I lead from the rear. And so, yeah, we have outings that are very demanding,
mm-hmm.
and then we have others that aren't so demanding. I don't think we really, when it was first started by Doug, he invited anybody at any level. And so even if you had trouble walking a mile, that you could find something to do. And mm-hmm. I don't think it's that wide open anymore. I think that the bottom line is you need to be able to walk a couple of miles. And if you can walk a couple of miles, you can make the mellow events without a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's from there how much you want to do and how far you want to go, whether you want to do a backcountry ski trip. We have people who do the public use cabins on weekends, and they might ski in or snowshoe in, spend the weekend skiing and snowshoeing around, and that's not for a beginner.
Mm-hmm.
Or doing the Resurrection Trail on skis or on snowshoes or something of that nature. And again, those are not for beginners. And some of the pack rafting trips and the kayaking trips are very much not for beginners. We don't do highly technical things. There's a mountaineering club for that, and there are other groups that do the highly technical things. So that's not us.
There's a level of vetting that's needed that would probably be beyond what you really want to get into for something like
Correct.
That.
Correct. Correct. A level of vetting and training and... because there are existing groups. I mean, there's overlap, obviously, because mm-hmm. we have people in our group who like to scramble. But if they wanted to do some really technical climbing, there are other groups.
Mm-hmm. We have a caller. Angela's calling from Willow. Angela?
Hello.
Did you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, I had a question for the two ladies leading these groups. I was wondering... I am an avid outdoor enthusiast as well and love to go hiking. I was just wondering if either of the two groups, specifically the one involving young children, have any outdoor ethics kind of structure that you apply kind of before you go out with these people in order to kind of preserve and, you know, conserve the environment so it looks nice for hikers behind you.
Talking about leave no trace and that kind of thing?
Exactly. I was just wondering if they incorporated any of those ethics into, you know, what they do.
Harmony?
We don't specifically. We've never had a problem with anybody not respecting the trail. In fact, I think that's part of our whole philosophy is that we're teaching these children to respect the trail and to respect nature and to understand it and be connected with it so that they will be better stewards of the earth.
And you're not doing overnights, right? Or you're mostly doing day trips, and so there's not as much of a factor in terms of camping and not leaving a trace. True?
Right, and a lot of the we actually do have a camping event that's going to be happening this summer to kind of get families introduced to camping, but that's at a campground, and they're going to be talking about cooking out in the backcountry and that kind of thing at the event, but like I said, most of the people we've had no issue with families not respecting the outdoors mm-hmm. and understanding, you know, to respect it.
Joe, can you answer that same question? Is that an issue for you guys?
It's never really been an issue. We don't have written ethical guidelines, but we adhere to the rules of the park system. And our members are all advocates of Leave No Trace. We pick up a lot of times people will pick up litter that they find along the trail and bring it out with them. And everybody's that I've ever hiked with or done anything else with is pretty careful to make sure that they're compliant with the tenets of responsible outdoor activity.
All right.
And we'll talk about trail etiquette before a hike if we have a really big group, especially to make sure, you know, that if you see somebody coming down the trail on skis, to make sure you get out of the way and maybe holler to the people in front of you so that they know, so we're not holding people up.
Yeah, that's a big one with little kids. Yeah.
Right.
Well, thanks, Angela. That's a good question, especially since we're talking about good-sized groups going out.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling. And now we have another caller. Barbara's calling from Anchorage. Barbara?
Hello. I'm here.
Yeah, go right ahead.
I just wanted to share that we have other hiking groups in Anchorage other than what you are featuring today, and you may or may not be aware. There's one called the Happy Hikers. There's another one having to do with trekkers, and I'm a member of a group called the Hillside Hikers, Bikers, and Skiers. We range in age, and we're all females, the latter group, and we range in age from 50 into our early 80s.
Okay, great. Well, I when we were setting up the show, I was looking for groups, and they're not always that easy to find.
No, we don't have a website, but we do have communication among people. This group has been going for over 20 years, the one I'm in.
Oh, that's neat. So how do you guys get together? What do?
We vary by the weather. In the wintertime, we go out on Tuesdays and Fridays. We try to do the same skiing trails or snowshoeing, depending on what it is, hiking if the snow isn't there. And same thing on Tuesdays and Fridays. We start at 11 o'clock in the morning and go, and we have fast people, and we have slow people, and we have middle people. So we try to stay a minimum group of three so that everybody's taken care of. In the summertime, we go hike on Tuesdays, and we bicycle on Fridays.
And so it's just essentially a group of friends who get together, and people would have to meet you by word of mouth, more or less. Is that right?
You would get your name if you were within the age bracket, and we recently have had some new people come in because as others move out of Alaska or age up or problems happen with the body, then we have room for new people, and you can get on a list that we do maintain. And then as an opening occurs, we call and let you know if you still wish to try to participate with us.
All right. Well, thanks for letting us know about that. That sounds pretty interesting and a good addition to our discussion today. So thank you for calling.
Thank you. Bye.
So, Joe, we're just about out of time here, but you're welcoming anybody to come along who wants to join. The thing seems to be getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Yes?
We try to keep our membership down by calling out those who join but then don't actually ever show up for anything.
Mm-hmm.
So we have it called down to about 750 now, and if we left it alone, we'd probably be over 5,000.
Wow.
Because people join thinking, oh, yeah, I'm going to go do something exciting, and then they never come.
Uh-huh.
We also have people who join for the summer. A lot of people who come up here with the oil industry from Texas might be here for a month and then back out.
Mm-hmm.
They'll join and do things while they're here. It's a great resource for them because they get to know the state a lot better than they would otherwise. And the only other thing I wanted to add is ours is a very dog-friendly group. So a lot of
okay.
the activities we have include people's dogs. So it's a great social activity for people with their dogs if they want to go hiking or camping or something of that nature with dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Not biking, obviously, but other
yeah.
things.
And Harmony, you're reaching out for more families, anybody who wants to get involved?
Yeah, anybody who wants to get involved. And like I said, anybody who wants to, you know, help organize events as well is always welcome. And I did want to also mention that my family and I spent a couple of months in Kodiak the past year, and there is a Kodiak Outdoor Family Network that you can find on Facebook.
Great.
And we are not dog friendly, though, because, you know, if everybody brought their
no.
dog, we'd...
Dogs and kids don't always mix. Well,
no.
we're pretty much out of time. I want to thank both of my guests, Joe Friday, the Anchorage Adventures Meetup Group. Find them on, you can probably just Google them. You can also find them on our website at alaskapublic.org. And Harmony Roll of the Anchorage Outdoor Family Network. Same deal. Easy to find. Next week on Outdoor Explorer, we're going to talk about Arctic Man. Every April, a remote mountainside in the Alaska Range is turned into one of Alaska's biggest cities. Join us to talk about Arctic Man City, the competitions, the history, and the family fun next week at 2 p.m. on KSKA. Thank you for joining us today on Outdoor Explorer. Kristen Spack is our producer. Our audio engineer is Dave Waldron. Thanks for being with us.
Outdoor Explorer is a production of KSKA Public Radio in Anchorage, Alaska. Theme music is by Portugal the Man. Views expressed are those of the participants and do not reflect the station or its underwriters. You can find Outdoor Explorer on Facebook and iTunes. To see what's coming up on Outdoor Explorer and add your voice to the conversation, go to alaskapublic.org.